Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Good morning. This is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I am joined by trusted experts. I'm joined by the business people across Oxfordshire, large and small, who come on and kindly put up with me for an hour to share their story with you, the listener. And on today's show, I'm going back a long way. Sarah and I worked together, 15 years ago now, maybe. And we are going to be sharing the story of Reward Tech and indeed Be Me. So really, really look forward to that. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming Sarah after this. Get ready. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. As you heard before that song, I'm joined today by Sarah O'Reilly, founder of Reward Tech and Be Me. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello, Ben. How are you doing?
So well, so well. Thank you for joining me. And hopefully you will enjoy the next hour. Fingers crossed. So let's start. For those who don't know Sarah, tell the listener all about Sarah and indeed Reward Tech and Be Me.
Yes, thanks, Ben. So Reward Tech, I started in 2020. I was sat on my sofa, kind of COVID pandemic time, and came up with an idea of how I could help my children complete their chores and tasks at home, help them with their behaviour. I was using reward charts, you know, the golden sticker star charts that
Absolutely.
We all use. Yeah. And they were just getting a little bit boring. So I looked for something different, something more digital and interactive, couldn't find anything. So that's exactly what I went and designed. So I have invented a children's reward box for kids. It's interactive, it's multi-purpose, it's a nightlight sleep trainer. It has lots of different functions, but it incentivizes children to complete tasks and talent challenges throughout the week. And then at the end, they get the reward inside the box. It's all controlled with a parental app, and the parents and child interact and build strong relationships using the product. So.
Amazing. Perfect. Look forward to hearing more about this over the next hour. But before that, the hardest question, knowing your area of expertise, that most of our guests struggle with is a song choice. So you've kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
So it's Wreckage by Nate Smith. It's a very special song, which means a lot to me. It's a song that I share sentiments with someone else who's been on a journey with me this year, where we've just found strength within each other. We're our biggest supporters, and it's for that person. So dedicated to that person.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Sarah, a bit of a sentiment one there this morning. We heard about Sarah and her journey of creating Reward Tech and indeed Be Me. So let's start the roundtable. I'm going to start with a big question here, Sarah. So do you feel that there is a problem with children in terms of how parents, I guess, kind of motivate children, reward children, and really kind of set them on their way in life, to use a cliche phrase?
I don't think there's a problem with children. I think that children have a lot to take in on a daily basis. Their small minds are sponges, and so they need guidance and structure. And parents are limited with their time because we have responsibilities such as, you know, getting them to school, making sure they're dressed and fed, and then we have to work so that we can put food on the table. So our energy levels are quite low by the end of the day, and there are things that need to be done. And I think children really strive for incentives. So if you incentivize a child, you will bring the best out of them. You're basically setting them goals and giving them challenges to achieve. And that really that gets them it working with you as the parent in a positive way, rather than, you know, letting them leaving them to their own devices, so that they can choose what they want to do. And then you turn around and say, well, why haven't you done this? Well, no one guided me to do that. You forgot to remind me that I needed to put my shoes away and make my bed this morning. And then you end up arguing with the child because they can't be bothered to do it by that point. So there's a lot of energy and time wasted between parent and child arguing unnecessarily when essentially the child is capable from a very early age to take these small tasks and basically complete them independently. So it's teaching them from a very early age how to do that. So small steps. So at different ages, you will have different challenges and tasks, and then you increase them. And it gives them not just independence, but it gives them some importance as well within the household. And it builds their confidence. And we're trying to develop their skills so that when they go out into the big wide world as adults, they have those skills. And you know what? Some parents don't have those skills to give their children because maybe they hadn't been taught those skills by their own parents. Because, again, everyone has a different background. And, you know, as a single mum recently, again, it's even harder now because I'm having to learn how to juggle and manage my time with three young children. And that's difficult. It's not as straightforward as it seems. And it's okay to put our hands up as parents and say, actually, this is really hard and I need some support.
No, absolutely. No, you make some really good points there. I think going right back to the start, a show that we had a few weeks ago with three property experts, and they were saying property in Oxfordshire, almost the biggest factor of why people move is to get into that catchment area to give their children the best start in life. So you make a really, really good point there. So I've known you for a long time, and you've always been very entrepreneurial and very creative and finding sort of different ways of doing things. Do you feel that in the education system that a lot of children are tapping into that and can Reward Tech or BME, can we tap into that through this product, or I guess broadly, what would be your advice to parents listening under that umbrella?
So I think children are becoming more entrepreneurial, and I think that's because of social media and access now that they have, you know, at the tap of the phone, and that becomes you know, starting younger. And I think parents are even becoming more involved in helping their children start up newer social media accounts and encouraging them to start their own businesses. I actually believe that we should encourage our children to stand on their own two feet and not just accept the normal 9 to 5, because that's not what people are after anymore. People want to work from home. They want flexibility. They want to spend more time with their family and friends, and they want more money. You know, they want to earn and have a life where there's security. And times are really tough right now, and people are scared because, you know, bills are increasing. And food is increasing and, you know, time isn't, we don't have more time. So we're trying to find ways to be clever. And I think our children's generation are going to need to do that even more so because we have AI to compete against now. So using these products like BME will help with routine, confidence, education. It will be interactive. It will boost the child confidence and help them grow. But, you know, ultimately this is not a product which takes away the parenting or the responsibilities that a child needs to have on their own two feet to go out into the big wide world. Entrepreneurial kind of mindset happens by encouragement, also through the people around the child. Especially yourself or myself, you know, I've always had people around me who are entrepreneurial. My parents have run their own businesses my entire life. And so they've always told me that I can achieve anything I want to. If I didn't have that and I had parents who were in a job and they were working really hard and they just did the normal 9 to 5 structure, then would I have had the same outlook? I don't know is the answer, because I think, you know, we are very influential from a very early age. And I've always been striving to achieve what I believe is success. And we all measure success differently. So my vision, my view of success is probably very different to your own or someone else's. So
absolutely. They made some really, really good points there. Thank you, Sarah. Just whilst we're on this topic, I'm going to go a little bit off topic, and then I promise, I want to delve more into the business story. But one of the things you touched on is people that are employed, and you also touched on being a single mother to three children, and really that drive to succeed. A lot of people that listen to this show run businesses and have teams. And I think that a lot of people want to be a really good boss, want to be a really good business owner, and want to, I guess, give everything possible to their teams. What would be your advice under the umbrella? So if somebody is listening and they do have staff who have families and in that scenario, what would be, I guess, kind of your advice?
Firstly, they probably know a lot more about running a big group of staff of people than I do at this point, because I'm on a journey. I don't have employees myself, but I bring consultants together. I have a team of people within my business that I value, that I work closely with. But I do believe, and I do have thoughts on this for, you know, when I do start to employ parents, you know, whether that be the mum or the dad, I think it's important that we recognize that people have commitments and have families, and we should prioritize our families, we should prioritize our health, and I think companies are becoming a lot better at doing that. We also need to make sure we're looking after our mental health, because you know, first and foremost, people sometimes don't realize, especially, I would say, especially parents in this day and age now, that it's okay to put yourself first a little bit, because if you're not okay, your children aren't going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I've learned very, very recently, that it's crucial. Mm-hmm. It's crucial to look after yourself, and it's crucial to look after your team. And there was a person that I met recently, his name's Darren. He had a massive company with lots of employees, but he saw everybody as a team. He didn't have the hierarchy. He knew everybody individually. He spoke to everybody on the same level, as if he was a part of the team, and as if he wasn't their boss. And I think he created a family within his company where everybody trusted each other, from what I can gather. And that meant that people were loyal to him. And what you need and what you're looking for when you're employing people is loyalty, trust, and you want to build a family, people that will take your business to the next steps and together, for it to be a success. And you can't do that if you don't trust the people you're around and the people you're working with. And you can only build that trust by spending time with those people and really getting to know them on a level, finding out about their businesses, businesses or interests, and mainly their families. So, absolutely. And not everyone's going to have children, but people will still have families, you know, nieces and nephews and you know, parents that they look after and care for as well. So it's not just about having children.
Absolutely. I think in my own experience, I think the thing that employers can really, really learn, and I think we can all learn, is that there isn't a one size fits all. And actually having, as you've touched on, that family feel and having that communication and I guess kind of that safe space to be able to communicate with each other and be honest really, really does help in terms of happiness at work, but also in terms of longevity.
Can I just jump in? Because I just thought of something. I also read a post recently from a friend that I met on one of the connectors I went to in London. And she wrote a post about failure within the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that business owners and managers accept failure more. You know, mm-hmm. It's okay if people don't maybe hit that target, and maybe to take the heat off and understand what's happening with that employee mm-hmm. at that time, and say, do you know what? You didn't make it happen today, but that's okay, because you're not perfect and nobody is. Mm-hmm. I think the intense pressure that people feel sometimes can become overwhelming, and that will knock on to the family environment when they get home.
Very much so. That really takes me back to one of the early shows that we did, probably about 120 shows ago, and Graham Hutchins. So it's worth having a look on the website and checking out Graham Hutchins. One of the very good points he made was, there's nobody he's ever met in his working career that has gone into work and thought, do you know what? I'm going to do a really bad job today. I'm definitely going to miss that target. I'm definitely not going to be able to succeed here. And actually, it's really worth remembering that we are all people. Everybody we employ are people, and it's about understanding why and ensuring that there is that way forward. Sarah, thanks so much for all your thoughts so far. Some really, really great insight there. Thank you. Let's continue the conversation after this.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners. This is the Business Brunch, sponsored by WeDo HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Today, really, really excited to be joined by Sarah O'Reilly. I've known Sarah for a really, really long time. We actually worked together in the world of radio many, many moons ago. And I'm going to come on to your LinkedIn post. So the reason this show came about was I saw a LinkedIn post of yours I thought was great. And a thing that kind of was, I guess, kind of the undertone that came out was very much around kind of happiness and the health kind of side of things, but also that freedom piece. Talk to me about the post. Do a better job of conversing it than I. And yeah, explain your thoughts there.
So I was trying to convey how difficult life can be sometimes when you're trying to juggle work life and families together, and whether that's because you are a nuclear family and you've got two parents working in the household and you're trying to juggle diaries and trying to make sure the children are getting to the right places all the time and making sure they're fed and they're all clean and they're in bed on time. So there's a lot that comes with that stress as a family, and then you've obviously got single parents where they're also trying to do this on their own. And I'm just trying to, I just realized just what toll that pressure can take on a parent. And then once the parent starts to feel that toll, how that knocks on to the actual children. And it's something that I've really struggled with in the last 5 months, is trying to find some of those balances and get that right. Because I've also had external pressures and judgments. And, you know, people are used to me being a full-time mum. Being present all the time. And because I've started this business and I've decided that actually I need to try my best to take it off the ground, it means and involves me being away a little bit more and not necessarily being as present and as organized as I would like to be. And so my health has probably deteriorated a little bit. I've stopped looking after myself in the same way that I usually would, and maybe not asking for as much help within my community. And it just made me think that I needed to step back and try to realign myself. And I'm still doing that now. I mean, I've just come out of hospital after poisoning myself. And so that's kind of had a knock-on effect. I've not seen my children in 5 days now. And that's really difficult because that's not how I would want my life to have, that's not how I saw my life going. But it's important that we support each other. We realize that self-care is just as important as looking after our children, because we need to be strong and our health is absolutely everything. Without our health, we really don't have anything at all. And just prioritizing your tasks. So, you know, if everything feels too much and you don't know where to start, because sometimes, I don't know about you, Ben, but my list of things to do has, you know, gotten so long. It's like, well, what's the priority today? Just learning to focus on what's important each day and let go of the rest sometimes is how you can just make sure every day you're moving forward. And it's showing up. It's just making sure you're consistent. And consistency is something that I've, you know, had to get better at just by showing up.
Absolutely.
Striving for a work-life balance isn't about being perfect. It's just about finding some kind of harmony. And within the chaos and enjoying the journey and also taking a step back and really trying to be as self-aware as possible and say, you know what, I gave my best today and that's all I could give. So something Stephen Bartlett said was, if all you have is 40% to give today and you gave 40%, then you gave 100%. And that makes sense. So
absolutely. Very much so. I think a few things have come here. In terms of the world of sales, I heard a sales trainer one day say something that's really, really fascinating, actually, is the best salespeople aren't the best salespeople because of the good days. they're the best salespeople because they achieve 1% on the bad days, but actually 1% on the bad days is better than 0% on the bad days, which was a really, really interesting way of looking at it. Mm. Just a few other things there that you touched on. I think you and maybe this is the wrong word to use, but I will elaborate and hopefully it'll make sense. I think you rightly and hats off to you showed vulnerability in that post, and I think you were getting a real amount of support from your network. Yeah. I think what we see in the world of business or in society is I think that. In days gone by, I think the phrase was always man up or have a stiff upper lip or do that. But actually, I think that society is really trying to teach us that if we do show a level of vulnerability, that our networks will support us. Can you just kind of build on that point and kind of give your thoughts around that?
Yes. And vulnerability is about trusting. Again, it's about really taking a leap of faith to say, okay, I'm going to put myself out there and see what I get back. And that's such a scary thing to do, I have to say. And that, you know, there are many times that I've written posts and not posted them in the fear that it might backfire or someone might, you know, have a negative opinion or something to say. But if you can't be vulnerable with people, you're not really being your true self. And actually people will know whether you're being true to yourself or whether you're real or not just by the things you're saying and the way you're portraying yourselves. And when you do open up and when you do show vulnerability, people then say, well, actually this resonates with me. And, So there's someone else out there feeling the same way, because what we don't like feeling is alone. And one of the biggest things that, as a single mum recently, I've been feeling is alone. And, you know, not when my kids are here and sometimes actually when they are here, because kids don't have, you know, the adult conversations that you need sometimes, or the big heart arms to, you know, put around you and give you a cuddle on your bad days. And being alone can be painful. And I think actually if you look at most people's posts, I think being alone is something that people struggle with the most, because whether that's not being able to share your thoughts with someone, whether you're having a bad day at work, whether you're having a bad day at home, or whether you're not coping with your children's behavior, or whether you know, money is really tight, and money is, you know, especially for people working at the moment, it's the biggest concern, and everyone's scared about money but also embarrassed. There's a stigma around money and, you know, how much somebody has, or if they're struggling, you know, people don't want to tell people that they're struggling. It's not the normal thing to do. So we just need to get better at talking to people, and we don't need to announce everything on social media. I think you should pick and choose what you give people, because some people will use your information against you, and that's just unfortunate, but that's life. But we should definitely be able to be more vulnerable and take the risk to see whether other people are feeling the same. And you know, 9 times out of 10, I think the responses I see on my posts are much more positive and reactive when I am more vulnerable, when I'm much more open about how I'm feeling, what my journey is as a business owner, as a person, rather than just talking about stats and figures of, you know, the industry I'm involved in or,
Very much so. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think that there's two things out of that. I think firstly, people do buy people as opposed to the business they represent or the label that they perceive on social. But also in terms of that piece that you touched on, in terms of sort of vulnerability around money or business being good, I've probably been to 1,000 networking events since I started my networking journey. You know, I used to own a networking business, and with that in mind, my go-to message was, hello, how are you? How's business? And very, very standard. And I would say in more than 90% of cases, if not 95% of cases, the answer was, yeah, good, thanks. How are you? Or we're having a really good year, or we're having an excellent year. And maybe I hope this is true. Maybe I just went in networking rooms and all the people that are in the room with me were just really, really fortunate and business was amazing and it was their best ever year or whatever. Yeah. But actually, I think if you look at the Office of National Statistics, it would suggest that actually 90% of businesses were struggling or not having their best year. And actually, I think that really there's something to be said there, Sarah, in terms of actually, if we can just be really honest and really talk about our strengths, our weaknesses, when things are really good, and support each other and celebrate together, but also talk about the struggles, there's definitely something in there. So,
and no, there's a point, so just to jump on that though, because there's a point to what you do with your business networking, but also the fact that if we do open up and we're vulnerable with each other, but also we start to try and support each other locally, and business, small business to small business, we are going to see better results. Because why should we be giving all our business to these big companies and corporations, which are taking and taking and taking from us and not giving back? You know, big, you know, small businesses are business owners that are struggling should be supported by their friends and families, and they and we should be trying to use each other's services as much more than bigger corporations and places where, you know, they just take our money and they don't really need it anymore. It's, you know, this is why it's so important to do the networking events that you've done, but also
absolutely.
Yeah,
I think there's a lovely sketch that I think that anyone in business has seen, is in terms of if you spend a pound with, I don't know, Amazon or whoever, that pound is spent and you get your product. But actually, if you spend it with a local business, it will be spent £9 back in the community, because actually that business have bought their supplies locally. They've then pay their staff locally, who then go into the local coffee shop and buy their coffee locally. So there's a real benefit behind that. Thanks so much for your thoughts so far, Sarah. It's been a really, really insightful conversation. But let's continue the conversation after this song.
The Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Today I'm joined by Sarah O'Reilly. We've been talking about her world of business, the two brands, Reward Tech and Be Me, but also her own journey. And I think we've spoken a lot about setting up, about how we can support our children. I think we've spoken about how we can support each other. And something I'm really, really keen to build more on, Sarah, is I know that you've been going to Venture Catalyst, you've been looking at investment, you've been looking at really kind of how you can get that outside investment into the business to scale. Can you share that journey? Because I think that it's something that a lot of us as small business owners see on Dragon's Den or might see in a newspaper, but actually we don't see the reality behind it. So yeah, can you share that journey with us?
Yes. Well, so I'm new to this too. This is the first time that I've had a business where I've needed to head out and go and try to raise capital. And the first amount of investment I raised was actually on holiday. I was in St. Lucia and lovely. I met this amazing couple from America, and we had a blast of a holiday together. We was around piano, singing songs, talking. I shared my idea with them about the reward box, and they kind of bought into it quite quickly. And then they contacted me when I got home and said, "Look, we're interested. Give me more details. We may invest." Mm-hmm. And then within a few weeks, they invested. So amazing. I was like, "Wow, that was really easy." And you know, when you say people buy into people, I think that was an exact example of how that can happen, because they got to know me really well. They got to know my interests and see how much I care about children and giving back. And also how excited I was about this new venture. But the actual reality of raising capital is quite different to that. it involves a lot of emailing, you know, research, trying to hunt down kind of what type of investors that you're going to need for your business, who's going to be interested. My business is a hardware and software company, so people don't always have the same skill sets and don't understand hardware in the same way. It involves getting out there, so meeting, going to, you know, business connector events, making sure that you can meet people face to face, sell your story, make sure that they understand who you are as a person. That's for me, that's been really valuable. So I have found many contacts through the London connector events, because it gives me credibility, and it means that I can relay my story in the way that I feel I need to, because sometimes just on an email doesn't cut the mustard. And if you imagine, these VCs are probably receiving 9,000 to 10,000 emails a month with pitch decks and new business ideas. And so yours has to stand out. And the pitch deck that you have to create, you know, there are so many different versions and views that people have on how you should have your pitch deck and the information that you should enter into your pitch deck. And I think I've changed mine about 100 times so far. and I'm still changing it. So to try and meet the needs that of the investors. But sometimes you just have to hold your hands up and say, but this is my story and this is my product and someone's going to buy into it or not. But you have to believe it and you have to spend the time working out who you need to be in front of. But it's just a case of getting out there and sending as many emails as possible, applying to as many VC capitalist firms as you can, but also realizing, are you pre-seed? Are you seed? Or do you need angel investment? At what point am I in this stage? Do I have SEIS or EIS funds? And so if you need to raise money in the UK and you're a startup, you can apply for SEIS or EIS. And so that gives you an opportunity for your investors to claim back some of the money that they invest into your business through tax. So it's a nice relief for them. It makes you more attractive as a business, and it gives you a little bit more of a chance to raise that investment. So it's definitely worth looking into the systems, but also reaching out to connections on LinkedIn, reaching out to family and friends is a big part of raising capital. So
it sounds like a really big journey. Like it sounds like something that is really kind of time intensive and probably quite stressful. Is that fair to say?
So stressful. I am finding it so stressful because like I said, the first round of investments that I've raised are through family and friends and this couple in America, Martin and Kathleen. It felt quite simple and a breeze. But right now I'm out for investment of £1 million. I'm just out for the first part, which is the 250, and you know, I have a lot of interest, but because the product that I have is hardware, people don't necessarily understand the hardware industry. So it's just a little bit more difficult, but also people are investing into different areas. So AI has, there's a lot going on in AI at the moment and blockchain. So the market's difficult. There's only 2% of investments going to female founders. So there's a huge challenge, and the industry is well aware of this, and they are actually making changes and improvements in those areas, because those statistics are just not good enough. There are some amazing female founders. I went to a women's connector recently, and the room was full of just the most fantastic professionals, and they were all female, and they had the best business ideas, and they were smart, intelligent, and driven. It was just the best event I've been to, actually. So they deserve more credit, and they deserve more room in the market. So investment is definitely tricky, but it will happen. You just can't give up. It's consistency. Everything is consistency, and people do give up, and you know, it can become tight and things can get, you can become pressured when money starts to dry up. But you just have to have a little bit of faith, and you have to make sure your relationships with suppliers and people that are trying to help you are solid. Because if they like you and they like what you're doing and the business that you have, and they believe in that, they will give you some leeway.
Absolutely. Really, really good advice. Sarah, I think now would be a really, really good time to talk about the vision, the future of Reward Tech and BME. And indeed, if anybody is listening, like how do they get involved? So a double ended question there. And and I sense it's not going to be a short answer.
So obviously the first vision is to launch BME to market, and start to gain feedback on the product and start to see the improvements and the success that it's going to have around, you know, the world, potentially in children's homes and families' homes, where children will benefit from this, and they'll see this as a game and as an interactive tool, and parents will find some relief from, you know, it will be better for time management. And so the product being launched is number one. Then we will look to bring on more products and even potentially look at schools and how we can help schools and within the classrooms. I think it's important not to get too ahead of yourself when you're in positions like my, you know, when you have a vision. I think you have to concentrate solely on the first step. And for me, the first step is launching Beamy. So have I thought too far ahead? I have, but I wouldn't want to share everything that I am hopeful of achieving, but I do want to give back. And that's one thing that I know, that if Beamy is to take off and to be as successful as I believe it can be and that others believe it could be, I believe that it needs to have a purpose, and that is to offer support to families and to give them all the tools they need within the home to support their children. And however we do that, I haven't got the answers just yet, but that's something that we will work on to make sure that we're always giving back to children, whether that's in the home or within schools. Because I love my children, but I love all children. I just think that they are innocent. They deserve a bright future, and every child has the exact same chances at life, you know. Or, I guess that's not necessarily true, because some children will have special needs and some children won't have the same abilities, but they are all able and entitled to a really good start in life. Mm-hmm. And to have people believe in them and to build upon their confidence and be independent and happy and healthy as individuals. And so that starts from a young age. We're trying to tackle the market. One thing I will say is that we're not just going to be a reward box for children. We are an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And so we are taking this from the ages of 3+ all the way through to adulthood. So Beamy will be a product and a solution for children between the ages of 3 to 11. And then we're hoping to partner with a bank or a GoHenry kind of solution, where we will then transfer them naturally into the banking world, where we'll teach them how to save and invest and teach them about money. So we want to take all our users and our families on a journey from the ages of 3. So we're not just there to make a quick buck. We're there to actually support our families and guide them through the journey of you know, being a toddler all the way through to adulthood.
Amazing. And on to the second part of the question. If Martin Lewis, who I know campaigns a lot about financial education for young people, or anybody else is listening to the show and would like to support, would like to get involved, how can they get in touch with you?
So they can email me at sarah@rewardtechnologies.co.uk, and they can reach out to me on LinkedIn. The websites are, so the website they can look at is beamy.life, and they can actually go on to beamy.life and subscribe to our emailing list, where we will let them know when the product is officially launched, and they will potentially receive a discount upon that launch. And so, yeah, the best way right now is to just contact me via email or LinkedIn, and that would be amazing if they want to get involved. I am looking for, you know, board of advisors as well. So anyone who has experience within the educational sector, then, you know, definitely feel free to reach out. I'm definitely open for conversations. So.
Perfect. Amazing. So we are coming towards the end of the show, but one of the things that we do like to do with our guests, as if you haven't already over the last hour, but is to share a top tip with the listeners. So it could be something we've spoken about already this morning. It could be something fresh. If you could say one thing to people listening now as their takeaway or thing to consider, what would that be?
It's really protecting your house. As you know, you are as an individual, you have to be strong and healthy to look after your family as much as you have to look after your business. If your mind is not healthy, if your body is not healthy, you cannot do those things. Protect outside expectations. So, you know, forget everybody else around you. It's something that is actually really difficult to do sometimes. I'm actually, like I said to you already, you know, I struggle with these things myself. I have lots of people to juggle. I have two co-parents with my children and a business, and trying to pay all the bills and keep a roof over the kids' head is a lot of pressure. And if I keep allowing other people's expectations and views and to come into that, then that overtakes everything else. And so then you're not protecting yourself. So just be kind to yourself. Self-care is everything. And, you know, yes, your children come first, but you can't look after your children properly if you don't start to look after yourself. And there are lots of people out there and struggling right now, especially with mental health, because of the strains and pressures of life. And, you know, the only way you're going to be able to juggle everything and your business is going to be successful is if you're able to be strong and do those things.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sarah, for such honest insight. But unfortunately, we have run out of time, and that is the end of the show. So if you are just tuning in, I definitely recommend following Sarah and following up with her great work. So it's Sarah O'Reilly, founder of RewardTech and Be Me. That is the end of the show. So next week, we are going to be back with some brand new guests talking about a slightly different topic. So we're going to be talking about the coffee industry. And to do that, we're joined by Andrew and Claire Bowen, who set up Java & Co., an Oxfordshire chain, and also now consult and work with a number of coffee shops all across Oxfordshire and beyond. So really, really look forward to that. Finally, just a reminder, you can catch me with a brand new guest every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. If you prefer a podcast format, you will be able to pick up the podcast on the Monday morning on all of your favorite platforms all across the world. And equally, if you would like to see our pretty faces, then you can get a video format, which is posted on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I look forward to seeing you next week.